What's up, everybody? Welcome to another live stream. Welcome to JFOD News. We got an interesting show today. We're going to cover some very upsetting, some very troubling news that you may have already heard of, but we're going to go into it because I think it's important to cover. We're going to cover how the Australian Army has begun transferring COVID-positive cases and their close contacts to quarantine camps. Sounds like the stuff of conspiracy, but it's actually happening. They're taking Indigenous folks who have tested positive and putting them into quarantine camps. All right. What is going on in the world? What is going on in this crazy world in the name of biosecurity? How are we allowing things like this to happen? This is unbelievable. We're also going to cover a study that's come out, a French study that suggests that long COVID is mostly psychosomatic, which is interesting because long COVID, the threat of long COVID is has been a longstanding sort of cudgel about how dangerous COVID-19 is. And it always was strange to me, where it's how could you prove long COVID if COVID has not even been around that long? And because of how much people have been scared and just terrified of this virus that has a 99.8% survival rate, and that most people just get no to mild symptoms of, moderate at most, this idea of this rampant long COVID thing seems kind of like a talking point scam to me. And this study seems to be kind of interesting. I'll be honest, I was having trouble totally understanding the graph in it. So we'll go over it as best that we can. Those are the two things to go through today. If we have extra time, maybe I'll throw another thing in. We'll see what happens. And the first article is via Zero Hedge. And the second article is via the Daily Skeptic. Definitely check out both of those publications. They're doing good work covering this pandemic and other things as well. Real quick up front, you can connect with me by joining jfodnews.com. That's my newsletter. Please do that. And also definitely follow me on Twitter, where I am more active lately. That's at the real JFOD, at the real JFOD. And yeah, let's get into it. So we've got Australian Army begins transferring COVID positive cases contacts to quarantine camps. And this is from Tuesday, November 23rd. So yesterday, 2 days ago for people that are listening to it on the podcast, because the podcast comes out the next day. This is real, man. This is real. The Australian Army has begun forcibly removing residents in the Northern Territories to the Howard Springs quarantine camp located in Darwin after 9 new COVID-19 cases were identified in the community of Binjari. 9, you guys. 9 cases. This is nuts. Australia's zero case policy has led to draconian, repressive insanity. And now they're taking it to the next level of quarantining people in facilities, camps, y'all. The move comes after hard lockdowns were instituted in the communities of both Binjari and nearby Rockhole on Saturday night. Here's a picture right here. I'll show you guys right there. There's the picture of the quarantine facility, and it says underneath that caption, Howard Springs quarantine facility has capacity for 2,000 overseas arrivals and about 1,000 domestic travelers. Residents of Binjari and Rockhole no longer have the 5 reasons to leave their homes, said Northern Territory Chief Minister Michael Gunner, referring to the country's 5 allowable reasons to avoid lockdown: buying food and supplies exercising for up to 2 hours, care or caregiving, work or education if it can't be done from home, and to get vaccinated at the nearest possible location. So he's meaning now all of those five reasons to leave their home are taken care of at the quarantine facility, is what he's saying. Ugh. Quote, they can now only leave for medical treatment in an emergency or as required by law. Quote, it's highly likely that more residents will be transferred to Howard Springs today, either as positive cases or close contacts, he continued, adding, we have already identified 38 close contacts from Binjari, but that number will go up. Those 38 are being transferred now. Continues, he says, I contacted the Prime Minister last night. We are grateful for the support of about 20 ADF personnel, as well as Army trucks to assist with the transfer of positive cases and close contacts and to support the communities. We are doing an assessment today of what extra resources we might need from the feds, and the Prime Minister is ready to help further. I thank him for that. Now we're going to watch this psychopath speak. This is the guy. This is Michael Gunner. He's the Northern Territory Chief Minister. Okay. Let's see. Australia. The Army is now transferring positive COVID cases and contacts in the Northern Territories to quarantine camps by Army truck. So it wasn't a conspiracy then. No, it absolutely wasn't. It's happening. Let's listen to this guy.
Urgent action to escalate our response in these communities, immediately implementing a hard lockdown. That means residents of Binjari and Rockhole no longer have the five reasons to leave their home. They can only leave for medical treatment in an emergency or if required by law. It's highly likely that more residents will be transferred to Howard Springs today, either as positive cases or close contacts. We've already identified 38 close contacts in Binjari, and that number will go up. Those 38 are being transferred now. I contacted the Prime Minister last night. We are grateful for the support of about 20 ADF personnel, as well as Army trucks, to assist with the transfer of positive cases and close contacts and to support the communities.
Crazy. Absolutely insane that this guy is saying this stuff and doesn't even realize how nuts he is. This guy is a freaking fascist, man. This is unreal. Let's see if there's anything going on in the chats. Oh, hey, what's up, everybody? Thanks for being here. Heather says this one sounds super cray. Eek, I agree. Things are getting nuts. Mia Sarah says brokenhearted. I am as well. What a mess. Juliet says, whoa, camps, what the fuck? WTF, I agree. It's starting to happen. Let's see. Heather says, how do all the same people who screamed about Nazis under Trump be on board for, quote, checking papers and potentially, quote, camps if this is the future for the U.S.? This is mind-blowing. You're absolutely right. You know why? It's because of the way the media presents it. The way the media presented it was that under Trump, there was this great rise of white nationalist Nazis every place. And now suddenly under Biden, all of this crazy stuff that's happening, they don't even cover it at all because of just media bias. And that doesn't mean I support Trump at all, because I don't. But it's just showing how the media plays it, which is absolutely ridiculous. Yeah, let's keep going. We're conscious of the fact that this can have some impacts on people's mental health as well as their general well-being, Police Commissioner Jamie Chalkner told NT News. Yeah, no shit. Of note, the Northern Territories are home to a large percentage of Indigenous Australians. So yeah, so the most marginalized, the most vulnerable are being messed with the first. This is how it starts. As the Epoch Times' Steve Maline notes, according to the Australian Institute of Health and Welfare, in 2018-2019, almost one in five Indigenous Australians lived in overcrowded dwellings. That's 18%, compared to 5% of non-Indigenous Australians. Although this percentage has decreased from 27% in 2004, it still meant an estimated 145,340 Indigenous Australians were living in overcrowded dwellings in 2018 to 2019. In addition, the more remote an area, the higher the proportion of Indigenous Australians living in overcrowded dwellings, 26% in remote areas and 51% in very remote areas, compared to 8 and 22% in non-remote areas. Okay, that's what he says. 5 days ago, NT, Northern Territory Senator Melardiri McCarthy told ABC that overcrowding in Indigenous communities was a, quote, massive problem, pointing to the region's second cluster of new infections, which included 9 members of McCarthy's direct family, including her sister, who flew from Catherine to Robinson River while unknowingly bringing COVID-19 with her, per the report. Quote, if we could get housing in there right now, I would be pushing that straight away to the federal government and the NT government to work on that. But we obviously need the resources to do so, she said. Oh, so I guess we have to put people in quarantine camps then. I guess that's what we have to do. We have to allow for something like this to happen. This is so insane. We are sliding towards global fascism, y'all, in the name of biosecurity. It's starting to happen. And so many people can't see it, and they're in total denial of it. Unreal. Of the 9 new cases in Binjari, 4 are women and 5 are men, including a 78-year-old woman who has been transported to Darwin Hospital. There were 0 new COVID-19 cases reported on Sunday. However, Minister Gunner said he was worried about, quote, mingling between households in Binjari and Rockhall, whose populations are around 220 and 130 respectively. They're testing this out. This is a pilot program to see what they can get away with, to see if they can convince people to quarantine in quarantine facilities and put them into camps. On Sunday, Gunner said, yes, these are strong measures, but the threat to lives is extreme. No, it's not. No, it's not. You're lying. Nice, people. Australia's leaders are dumb and authoritarian, a very bad combo. Let's see what this video has to offer.
Do you think at all that your rhetoric around calling people anti-vaxxers, some of whom were vaccinated, has had an impact at all on vaccine take-up in parts of the territory?
No. And I'll repeat it. If you are anti-mandate, you are absolutely anti-vax. I don't care what your personal vaccination status is. If you support, champion, give a green light, give comfort to, support anybody who argues against the vaccine, you are an anti-vaxxer. Absolutely. Your personal vaccination status is utterly irrelevant. If you campaign against the mandate, if you campaign against people being vaccinated in vulnerable settings, teachers in classrooms, I'll be really clear. At that point in time, people were actually supporting the idea of a teacher being unvaccinated in a remote community classroom with kids who cannot be vaccinated. I reject that utterly, and I still reject it. And if you are out there in any way, shape, or form campaigning against this mandate, you are absolutely anti-vax. If you say pro-persuasion, stuff it, shove it. We are absolutely going to make sure as many Territorians as possible are vaccinated. That is our best protection against this thing. And if you look at the Doherty modeling that's only come out since, that says if you double dose 80 in remote communities, 5 and up, I think you'll see our vaccine mandate is absolutely crucial to protecting lives, particularly Aboriginal lives. And I will never back away from supporting vaccines. And anyone out there who comes for the mandate, you are anti-vax.
All right. That guy is clearly a psychopath. And and I mean, the idea at this point in time, if anybody looks at the VAERS database, the Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System, you realize how many people have gotten vaccine injured from this thing. So this guy is a complete extremist freak show. Let's see what we got going on in the chat. Unbelievable. Ugh. It's crazy. It's absolutely nuts. Did you hear that guy? He's a complete extremist freak show. Let's see. Mia Sarah says, 2 Thessalonians 2:3-43, let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will come unless the rebellion comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction. Okay. It seems like some crazy shit is going on. Let's see what we got here. What's up, Another Worldview is Possible? Clown World is a global problem. Yes, it is. But Dandy, what's up? Next, we will need to kill off the unjabbed for our safety, of course, and people will welcome it. It's getting unbelievable. Sounds like it's time for a new Nuremberg tribunal, says another worldview is possible for persons like this wanker. Yeah, this guy is unbelievable. I don't want a person like this in power. Let's see. A lot of stuff going on here. Mia Sarah says, vaxedus. Yeah. And VAERS only captures at most 1% of the, well, at most 10%. It's more like 1%, 1 to at most 10% of the injuries and deaths. Anybody here, go to look up Open VAERS. And it's basically an organization that is made looking at the vaccine adverse events reporting system a lot easier to understand. Check out Open VAERS and look at all of the people who have become vaccine injured from this, from these injections. And also realize that it really only captures probably 1%. So you can times these numbers by 100, you know, or, and let's say you want to be conservative, you can times them by 10. So for him to say that this thing is completely safe is just reckless. You know what I mean? That's ridiculous, man. So that is this piece. That's what's going on in Australia, where they've had just such a draconian, awful response to this pandemic. But let's check out another piece. Now, this piece is really interesting, but I was having trouble understanding and reading the entire graph, but let's still go through it. I think it kind of like it transitions well to how I was just talking about VAERS and talking about vaccine injured people and stuff like that. Let's see here. I got to share. Let's see, stop that one. I'm going to share something else. This article here. Okay. Let's see if it comes up. So you guys can see this article right here in the Daily Skeptic. French study suggests that long COVID is mostly psychosomatic. That is interesting to me because that's what my intuition about it is. So let's see what happens. Another worldview is possible says, people have reported watching live as VAERS reports numbers roll backwards. Interesting. I wouldn't doubt it. Yeah, if you guys have not looked into the VAERS database, V-A-E-R-S, Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, look into it. Open VAERS. You can find that on Twitter, and then they report the most updated numbers. I mean, for anyone to say these things are safe or effective after looking at that, it's not exactly the easiest thing to do. And effective, I mean, we have to take them every 6 months now. How is that an effective vaccination? How is that an effective inoculation? It's just not. So here we go. Let's read the second article. French study suggests that long COVID is mostly psychosomatic. Here we go. Long COVID was initially believed to affect one in every 10 people who catch the virus. However, estimates have since come down considerably. In September of this year, the ONS, which stands for the Office of National Statistics, published research indicating that only 2.5% of people still report symptoms after 12 weeks. As I noted in a write-up for the Daily Skeptic, even this 2.5 figure is probably an overestimate since it assumes that every patient reported their symptoms accurately. Due to media attention surrounding long COVID, some participants have been inclined to exaggerate their symptoms to report things they normally wouldn't have done. Yes, the media constantly harping on long COVID, long COVID, long COVID. It creates the perception that there's more of it, and then people believe that they have it. It's the same thing about what's going on here. It's the same thing about this entire COVID narrative. Yeah, it's like if people just stop watching their TV, this pandemic would go away. It's unbelievable. A new study published in the JAMA Internal Medicine suggests that 2.5 that the 2.5% figure is an overestimate. Joanne Mazza and colleagues analyzed data on a sample of about 27,000 French people who were given serology, i.e. antibody tests, between May and November of 2020. So if it shows you have antibodies, that means you've recovered from the virus, had the virus. The same individuals took a questionnaire between December 2020 and January 2021. In that questionnaire, they were asked, quote, since March, do you think you have been infected by the coronavirus, whether or not confirmed by a physician or a test? Respondents who answered yes were also asked when they caught the virus. Those who indicated that they caught it after their serology antibody test were excluded from the analysis. Additionally, all respondents were asked to say whether they had experienced each of 18 different symptoms since March of 2020. The main results are shown in the table below. There are four columns corresponding to different combinations of belief and serology. The two on the left correspond to a negative test, while the two on the right correspond to a positive test. The belief columns indicate whether respondents believed they had been infected. Okay, so now let's take a look at this graph, this chart here. Before we do that, let's see if there's anything going on in the chat. Oh, I keep saying Badandy, but it's Bad Andy, by the way, John. That makes a lot more sense. Let's see. What do we got here? Another Worldview is Possible says, gee, I wonder who funded a study making that kind of suggestion. Jimmy Dore got long-haul COVID as a response to the jabs. I know that Jimmy got vaccine injured, as according to the jabs. You know what I mean? And I don't know if that vaccine injury is, oh, I see you're agreeing with me on that. Yeah. He got vaccine injured and he's acknowledged that. And that sort of started him on his road towards really questioning what's going on with the vaccines. So that's what I think his vaccine injury is being called, long haul COVID. I don't know. Another Worldview is Possible says there's got to be an internment death camp called Camp Chomsky. I'm a fucking match free or whatever. Yeah. But, yeah, I can't believe Chomsky is calling for segregation and essentially putting, basically putting into quarantine people who are quarantine camps, facilities, people who are unvaccinated. It's so sick. Let's take a look at this chart. Okay. Table two, descriptive statistics of symptoms prevalence by belief and serology tests. So I mean, antibody test results status. So here there's a whole bunch of different symptoms. Then there's the total number of people that, have those symptoms. Then there's the people that believe that they have them. Then there's belief. And then there's people with serology, that actually tested and have the antibodies to show that they have overcome COVID and have the antibodies. So they're not infected. It's kind of hard for me to totally understand this graph, but it explains it below where it says there are two main things to notice. Okay. There are two main things to notice. First, if we compare the column on the left for people with a negative test who believed they had not been infected to the two columns on the right for people with a positive test, we see that the percentages are about the same. The only exception is anosmia, shown in the final row. In order to do this, you have to compute a mental weighted average of the two columns on the right. For example, 7.3% of people in the first column had joint pain, while the corresponding percentage for the last two columns is 6.5%, the weighted average of 4.2 and 8.2. These comparisons indicate that respondents who tested positive for COVID antibodies were not, in general, more likely to report symptoms than those who tested negative. Okay, I'll say that again. These comparisons indicate that the respondents who tested positive for COVID antibodies, okay, meaning the serology group, the group that has antibodies, so has recovered from COVID, were not, in general, more likely to report symptoms. They were not more likely than those who tested negative. The only symptom they were more likely to report was the anosmia. The second thing to notice is that if we compare the two belief plus columns to the two belief minus columns, we see that the percentages tend to be higher in the former, in the belief plus. This indicates that people who believed they had been infected reported were more likely to report symptoms. This indicates that the people who believed they had been infected reported were more likely to report symptoms regardless of whether they had actually been infected. Let me read that one more time. This indicates that people who believed they had been infected were more likely to report symptoms regardless of whether they actually had been infected. The researchers estimated multivariate models that controlled for characteristics like age, sex, and education and observed the same pattern of results. Believing that one had had COVID was associated with reporting symptoms, but actually having had COVID was not, with the exception of anosmia. Mata and colleagues' findings are consistent with earlier studies based on young people, which found little or no difference in symptoms between those who were seropositive and those who were seronegative, meaning with or without antibodies. Long COVID, it seems, is mostly psychosomatic. Now, that was hard for me to totally wrap my head around, but it seems to explain that people with and without the antibodies were claiming to have these same symptoms. So it really does go to show that this long COVID thing is psychosomatic. Which I find to be pretty interesting. Let's see. So that's basically what's going on with long COVID there. How are we doing on time? Okay, we got time to do another article for sure. This is the first time I'm doing for a while, but I'm doing sort of multiple shorter articles. Let's see. So some crazy stuff is going down in Italy. So let's take a look at that next. I'm going to share my screen with another piece here. This is in The Guardian. Sorry to share The Guardian because they are a pretty compromised source. But they've got a good article here. What are we saying in the chat? Antibody presence is determined how PCR tests are junk science. Good point. There's so much wrong with what is going on. If you go from the PCR test, which determines whether you have a positive COVID test or not, the PCR test was never supposed to be used as a diagnostic to determine if someone's sick or not. You take a genetic sample, they're spinning it up way too many cycles. They're finding just dead nucleotides, nothing, little pieces of virus that are not replicable, that are not contagious, and they're saying that somebody's sick. If you're spinning it up anywhere over 35 cycles, you're finding nothing, even way less cycles than that. We are routinely spinning them up 37 to 45 cycles, so there's a gazillion false positives. That's why we have this case-demic going on. Also, yeah, the antibody test is not an accurate test either. It's a disaster. There's so many lies and so much bullshit to try to keep on top of and try to keep in your head. It's unbelievable. But let's see what we got here. We got an article entitled "Italy to Tighten COVID Rules for Unvaccinated with Super Green Pass." Oh, we've got the super green pass now. How exciting. How long are we going to stand for this shit, you guys? How long are we going to let these technocrats, these techno-fascists, these global fascistic monsters that want to usher in technocracy, that want to control every aspect of our lives with technology, how long are we going to let them do this, man? When are we going to all stand up and say no more? I mean, a lot of people throughout Europe, they're protesting the vaccine passports like crazy. They're on the streets. Not so much here in the States, at least not yet, because they've only been enacted in certain blue cities where people seem to be very compliant. Very interesting. All right, let's see. How long is this piece? Okay, we're going to get through it. We're going to do it. Why not? Italy to tighten COVID rules for unvaccinated with super green pass. Unjabbed people face ban from range of activities as countries in Europe scramble to impose stricter rules. Here we go. The new measures in Italy would require people to prove they are vaccinated or have recovered from COVID to access social and sports activities. At least they allow the proof of recovery. At least they allow to show antibodies and stuff like that. That is not even an option in the States. Italy is to bar unvaccinated people from popular social and sports activities as governments across Europe scramble to tighten COVID-19 restrictions amid record-breaking number of infections in parts of the continent. Now, these record-breaking numbers of infections with everybody there, a large percentage being vaccinated. Can we not connect the dots that maybe the vaccinations are allowing for the situation to be available for these new variants to take hold and for people to get infected by them because that's what creating and attacking a very specific spike protein then allows for the breeding ground for a new variant? I mean, can we not just connect the dots on this thing? I know I could have explained that better, but I'm trying my best. Here we go. The Italian Super Green Pass will take effect from the 6th of December and require people to prove they are vaccinated or have recovered from COVID to access cinemas, theaters, gyms, nightclubs, ski lifts, and stadiums, as well as to be served indoors at bars and restaurants. Sounds a lot like New York. Current rules in Italy and many other EU countries with health passes also allow people who provide proof of a negative test taken within the previous 48 hours to use recreational venues, a regime that has become known as 3G. But the Italian, quote, super green pass removes that third option. Okay, so they're clamping down on that. You can't even show a negative test. The Netherlands and France are among those thought likely to also adopt a stricter so-called 2G regime within days. 3G refers to the German word geimpft, vaccinated, tested, and genesen, recovered. 2G is vaccinated or recovered. Italy's prime minister, so this is going to be happening throughout Europe, the super green pass. They just keep clamping down. They just keep turning the screws. Italy's prime minister, Mario Draghi, has been under pressure from regional governors to impose a stricter health mandate against people who have not been vaccinated. He said on Wednesday it was essential to mitigate the risk of coronavirus infections surging and preserve normality as his government tightened regulations against unvaccinated people by barring them from an array of social and recreational settings. Quote, we want to be very careful and also to preserve what we have achieved this year, to preserve this normality, he said. In a surprise move, people will also have to show proof of vaccination, recovering from COVID-19, or a negative test taken within the previous 48 hours when using public transport, such as buses or metro trains. You can't even get around. You're not allowed to get around unless you have your papers. The measure is already in place when traveling on long-distance trains and domestic flights. They need it for domestic flights. This is unbelievable. The freedom of movement is an inalienable human right that has been taken away in the name of biosecurity. It's ridiculous. The government has also extended the obligatory vaccine requirement already in place for health workers to the police force, military, and teachers. Here's a graph of Italy's number of new cases per day. And then we're seeing here late October into November, 10,044 cases. I don't buy it. I just don't buy it. It's garbage because of the PCR test and all of that sort of stuff. Somebody said here, Bad Andy said, and John, you should stream on Rockfin also so we can get away from the tube. I am actually on Rockfin. This is streaming on Rockfin. I recently figured out how to do that and I got on Rockfin. So that is happening. I just want to be able to see you guys in the chat. I don't know if I can see people in the chat on Rockfin. I have to figure that out. Another Worldview Is Possible says, you're doing great, John. This is extremely complex subject matter, and the information needed footnotes are extremely convoluted in conversation. Yes, they are. Stranger Things here. What's up? Okay, cool, cool. I am on Rockfin, and I'm streaming right now to Rockfin, Twitter, and YouTube. Let's keep going. Draghi said that while the coronavirus situation in Italy is currently under control, quote, outside of Italy, the situation is very serious, while ours is steadily worsening. Italy registered 12,448 new infections on Wednesday. That's yesterday, up from 10,040. Oh, that's today, I guess. Up from 10,047 on Tuesday and 85 deaths. I mean, I don't buy those numbers, but whatever. In the Netherlands, the Dutch health minister, Hugo de Jonge, spoke on Wednesday of a, quote, gloomy and worrying rise in cases, and said tough measures could be announced within days despite four nights of rioting and more than 170 arrests over a partial lockdown imposed last week. People do not want this. People do not want more lockdowns. They do not want to lose their livelihoods. They do not want to be subjected to the mental anguish of being locked down. This is ridiculous. And if there are all these cases, I think it's because of people getting bad reactions to, or being able to be susceptible to new variants because of the injections. This is ridiculous. DeJonga declined to specify what the restrictions likely to be announced on Friday could entail, but Dutch media said they could include school closures and 2G curbs, allowing only those vaccinated or recovered from COVID to access bars and cafes. No more taking of the test. No more getting a negative test. Restrictions introduced on the 13th of November oblige Dutch bars, restaurants, cafes, and supermarkets to close at 8 p.m., sports matches to be played behind closed doors, and limit domestic gatherings to four people. Now, a lot of this stuff that happens in Europe a month or so later tends to happen in the States. So it's something for us in America definitely to keep an eye out on, and because they would love to lock us down again. They'd absolutely love to do it. They'd love to further push for this orchestrated, purposeful demolition of our economy so they can roll in the new economy with the Build Back Better agenda and with the central bank digital currencies and the Fed coins, the programmable money. They first need to destroy this economy before they can have the Great Reset. France will announce new COVID containment measures on Thursday, a government spokesperson, Gabriel Attal, said, while aiming to avoid, quote, major curbs on public life. Yeah, right. The government has said stricter social distancing requirements and tougher health pass rules are inevitable. Quote, we must protect the French people by building on what we have to save the end of year festivities and get through the winter as well as possible, Attal said. The president, Emmanuel Macron, has said the pass, which currently applies 3G rules, is a key reason why France is doing better than some of its neighbors. Olaf Scholz, who is to replace Angela Merkel next month as Germany's chancellor, called on Wednesday for vaccinations to be made compulsory for targeted groups, saying that fighting the pandemic would be his top priority. Quote, vaccination is the way out of this pandemic, liar. In institutions where vulnerable groups are cared for, we should make vaccination compulsory, he told a news conference. Several German states have already imposed a strict 2G regime for access to entertainment and leisure venues. That means you can't have the negative test. It's just either having been vaccinated or showing that you've recovered from the virus with antibodies. The Netherlands, Slovakia, the Czech Republic, and Hungary all reported record daily infections on Wednesday as colder weather pushed people to gather indoors rather than on cafe terraces, providing a perfect breeding ground for the virus. This is such bullshit. It's called getting the flu. How about the flu? How about the winter? How about dealing with colder weather? I mean, this is so, I mean, they're going to exploit this winter to really just usher in all sorts of draconian repressive things. And let's not forget about Austria, who has just made it mandatory to get vaccinated for the entire country, compulsory for the entire country, as they've locked down everybody in their country. They're on full lockdown right now. Huh. The Netherlands. Okay. Yeah, we read that part. Which European countries are being hit the hardest? Case per rate, 1 million. Last fortnight, past 2 weeks. Okay. We've got this graph here. Source, Johns Hopkins University. I don't trust anything about Johns Hopkins University because they were the ones that were involved with Event 201, which was a tabletop pandemic, novel coronavirus pandemic simulation that happened October 18th, 2019 in New York City, where basically global governance crew, globalists all got together to plan out what would happen if there was a pandemic and how they would respond. And it was the World Health Organization. I'm sorry, the World Economic Forum, in conjunction with the World Health Organization, in conjunction with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, in conjunction with Johns Hopkins Department of Health Security, the UN, prominent members of academia and the media, multinational corporations, world leaders all got together, members of the CIA all got together in order to do a tabletop simulation of what would happen if there was a pandemic. And then there was a pandemic. So they tipped their hand of how they would be, at the very least, they tipped their hand of how they would be dealing with it. And they're basically showing that right now. And it's incredibly repressive. And it's allowed for a massive transfer of wealth upward, $3.8 trillion to the already wealthiest people in the world, while the middle class and small business owners get gutted and have to shutter their doors forever. It's ridiculous. This is a purposeful demolition of the economy because the debt model was bursting at the seams and not working anymore. So they need to create a new great reset in order to usher in the fourth industrial revolution. And they need to destroy the economies of the world first to do it. And that's what's happening. And they're using coronavirus as the pretense and the catalyst to do it. Let's see what's going on in the chat. Cool. Stranger Things here. Let's see. Another worldview is possible. Klaus Schwab's fifth Sith apprentice, Darth Macron, that's pretty good. Emmanuel Macron is a total tool of the globalists. He was a young global leader of the World Economic Forum as recently as 2017. So he went through his globalist finishing school situation. Let's see. Stranger Things here. Hey man, I discovered you a while back with some of your comedy. I noticed a big gap between your last comedy-based videos to these live streams. It feels like you have been activated, so to speak. Is that a good thing? I mean, I just basically am speaking my truth. You know what I mean? I just feel like this is an important time to get things out there. And that's what I'm going to do. So let's see what we got here. Italy introduced its Green Pass in August and made it mandatory for workplaces in October. Okay. The workplace mandate intensified protests across Italy, especially in the northern city of Trieste, where there has been a sharp rise in infections and hospital admissions in recent weeks. Calls for tighter rules have been led by Massimiliano Fedriga, the president of Friuli Venezia Giulia, the region surrounding Trieste. This month, Fedriga, a politician with the far-right league, described the anti-vaccination and anti-Green Pass protests as idiocy. He said on Sunday the Super Green Pass was not discriminatory and the only alternative would be another lockdown. Ridiculous. Umberto Lucangelo, the head of an intensive care unit at a hospital in Trieste, recently said 90% of COVID patients were unvaccinated and many had been involved in the protests. I don't buy this. How much longer is this article? Okay. The tougher rules have been supported by regional presidents from across the political spectrum. Great. Stefano Bonaccini, because hold on a second. This whole recently 90% of the COVID patients were unvaccinated and many had been involved in the protests. That goes against every study that's coming out of Israel, Gibraltar, that are Iceland, that are saying that the people who predominantly the people that are hospitalized are people that have been vaccinated. The tougher rules have been supported by regional presidents from across the political spectrum. Stefano Bonaccini, the center-left Democratic Party president of Emilia Romagna told ANSA, quote, "I think people who are vaccinated should have a preferential path in those places of social and cultural life in particular in order to prevent them from having to close," end quote. Unbelievable. How quickly and how fine we are with creating a caste system, with creating second-class citizens, with putting people in quarantine camps. This is unreal. And if you think this is going to just stop with marginalized indigenous people in Australia, watch out, because Australia is a test ground for just how repressive things can get. Europe is a test ground for things that are going to be coming to the States within, 4 to 8 weeks. And it's just not going to stop until we all stand up and say no more. Giovanni Toti, the Forza Italia president of the Liguria region, said any further restriction should apply to, quote, "people who have not had the vaccine, not to people who have done so correctly." Yeah, not to those who have done the correct thing, put an experimental gene therapy injection into themselves. Unbelievable. That is causing all sorts of problems. I really implore everybody to look at VAERS, V-A-E-R-S, Open VAERS. As of Wednesday, just over 84% of Italy's population over the age of 12 were vaccinated. There you go. Going to connect a couple dots there. I'm going to find this Open VAERS and pull it up right now so you guys can see it before we go. Here we go. Open VAERS, so far reported. Let me share it. Oh, Stranger Things here says, yeah, good thing, man. All right, cool. Good to know. I appreciate that. Another Worldview is Possible says, did you see the size of the crowds in Austria? More than 100,000 in Vienna, perhaps even a million. Mockingbird Media, thousands of anti-vax protesters. Exactly. That's how they frame it. Unbelievable. It's ridiculous. All right, let's find this Open VAERS so people can see this. It's important. Okay, so first you can see the number there. 1,742,488 adverse events reported. Okay. It says right here, VAERS is the vaccine adverse event reporting system put in place in 1990. Okay. And this is co-run by the FDA and the CDC. Okay. This is not some indie reporting system. It is a voluntary reporting system that has been estimated to account for only 1% of vaccine injuries. Open VAERS is built from the HHS data available for download at vaers.hhs.gov, Health and Human Services. The Open VAERS project allows browsing and searching of the reports without the need to compose an advanced search. So that's what Open VAERS has been created to make it easier to search through VAERS, specifically for COVID-19. And you guys can see here that you've got VAERS COVID vaccine adverse events report, okay? We're seeing 18,853 deaths, all right, reported as a response to the vaccine. Now when the SARS, when the original SARS vaccine or the swine flu vaccine, I can't remember which one, when that showed 50 deaths, they pulled it and put a halt to it because it was worrying. This one here has reported 18,853. Lord knows how many there actually are. 94,537 hospitalizations, 99,470 urgent care, 139,952 doctor office visits, 8,082 anaphylaxis, 11,220 nine reported Bell's palsy. Okay. There's a lot of other ones. 2,996 recorded miscarriages, 9,332 recorded heart attacks, 13,237 recorded myocarditis or pericarditis, 30,010 permanently disabled, 4,387 thrombocytopenia/low platelet thrombosis, that is, 21,089 life threatening, 33,660 severe allergic reactions, 10,455 cases of shingles. All right. And then there's a graph here. You can see all of the vaccine reported injuries going back from 1990 being well under 2000. And then you can see this drastic jump up, okay, to it being a crazy, crazy amount. All deaths, all the deaths reported to VAERS by year, okay, well under, and now we're approaching 20,000. This is unbelievable. So I really, everybody that's listening to this, go to openvaers.com. That's openvaers.com if you're listening on the podcast. And then you'll get to that main page. And then if you click on COVID vaccine data and you hit red box summaries, that's where you'll find all of that data. So, I mean, see, look for yourself, because everybody keeps saying, you know, you keep hearing the mainstream line that these are safe and effective, safe and effective, safe and effective. But guess what? This right here shows that they are not as safe as they present themselves, as they present the vaccines to be. And effective, I mean, come on. We have to get boosters every 6 months now for the rest of our lives. So how is that effective? Yeah. Bad Andy says, John, you can read live chat in Rockfin. Also, tipping is better and staying on YouTube is asking for censorship. Getting your channel shut down. Love you. Got to go, brother. All right. Love you too, man. Thank you. The Bible Girl says, nice seeing you live. Nice seeing you in the chat. We'll check that out. But yeah, I think we've done a good amount of time here. We covered some interesting stuff. Yeah. Another Worldview is Possible says, the jabbed are getting sick and not just injured now. But yeah, but safe and effective, safe and effective. I'm sorry. It's just not the case. A lot of people are getting tricked here, and that's the way it is. So yeah, I ask you guys, if you haven't yet, connect with me at jfodnews.com. You can subscribe to my newsletter there and also follow me at Twitter at The Real JFod. I'm going to keep doing these live streams. Yeah, if anybody wants to say hello to me, feel free to drop me a line at takeyourpillspod@gmail.com to say hello. I appreciate all your time, and I appreciate you guys being here. And yeah, let's keep doing this thing, because we got to spread the word. It's important. All right. I'll see you later. Bye-bye.